Welcome to Talking Walking, hosted by Andrew Stuck from Rethinking Cities in London. Talking Walking brings you interviews with people from the world of walking, artists, activists, professionals, and those who have a passion for just taking a walk. In this episode, I talk to Foster Spragg, a painter who, while searching for a venue in the City of London, crisscrossed the square mile in a deliberate way, recording her roots by making pencil marks on a large piece of paper. This act began a body of walking drawings that has led her to other cities and on pilgrimage walks. Walking drawings represent the process of walking. The interview was recorded in July 2012 at Foster's South London studio. How did you come to start the walking drawings, and how would you describe them, so that if you would describe them to someone who, you know, is listening to this?
Okay, it's just very difficult to describe them without actually seeing them, but yeah. I'll give it a go.
Well, just the process, because they're actually a recording of a process rather than going somewhere and then drawing something.
Yeah.
You were actually drawing while you were walking.
Yes.
So perhaps if you explain that a little bit, yeah. And then also try to explain where that began.
Okay, well they began by. Well, they're also called waiting, because basically I was looking for a venue to build an art installation in the Square Mile. Square Mile because it was filled with commuters, basically, and people very busy in their work activities. So I was walking around the Square Mile looking for a venue, and basically I was writing notes while I was walking about places where I might build this piece, and then that transgressed into a drawing. And the first drawing was over 8 days, and basically I started marking one pencil mark for every footstep taken.
Every footstep,
right. One pencil mark.
Walking one step, make a mark.
Yeah.
Walk another step.
But so it was quite rhythmic. I could keep moving as I was doing it. It was quite. So the piece of paper is about 3 foot square and folded, so to a sort of A4 size.
So when you started this, you'd already thought about the size of paper. You weren't starting. I'd start with the sort of back of an envelope and then sort of.
The first drawing was the writing was on a piece of paper. So when I came home, I thought, right, I'm going to be spending all my time in the Square Mile. I might as well create an artwork out of it at the same time. And the paper I have is 59 centimetres wide. So I just cut it into a square. And what's quite nice about a square piece of paper is it's sort of landscape. So you're not drawing a landscape or portrait size. So it doesn't necessarily have a correct way of viewing it. So I started walking, and each day I'd enter the Square Mile from London Bridge with the commuters, which was quite buzzy. So there's a huge sort of stream of people going into the Square Mile. And I basically had a clipboard and started my drawing. Yeah, so I felt very much like I had a job, like I had a purpose.
And what about the people around you?
People did ask me directions, thinking I might have been... had a map or something. I don't know, but people... didn't bat an eyelid, because, you know, everyone's so busy in their own activity. And
so now the clipboard isn't 59 centimetres
no,
square.
No, so the clipboard's a bit...
So you folded the paper.
I was walking. I could fold and unfold the paper as I was going along.
Did you mark changes in direction, or was mark the same?
No. So the path across the page ended up being 5 steps wide. Because if I had just drawn one step in front of itself, each as I was going along, it just would have been a line across the page.
Yeah.
So to create a path, the rhythm of 5 steps across, and then I'd start going across again, was a sort of natural counting in the head, because 4 was too much of a beat, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, whereas 5 was a slightly offbeat thing, and that just seemed, to me, the sort of perfect counting.
And you were using a pencil? Or
using a pencil.
Charcoal? Or
no, the graphite pencil. And the each day I would use a slightly different density of lead, which helped build up a three-dimensional effect of the drawing. So when I was walking, if the road turned left, I would turn the page left, so the line across the page would be going left. So, and the only stipulation I gave myself is I'd never leave the edge of the page. So when I came close to the edge, I would if I was walking down the same street, I'd basically turn the piece of paper round and walk back on myself until I would turn left or right again.
Were you so caught up with marking your route that you actually didn't really take in what was going on, where you were going?
All I stipulated was I wasn't going to leave the square mile. And then there's 43 churches which are open within the square mile, because I thought that would be a venue which I could make the piece. So I went to look at all those. But really my direction was dictated by the flow of people walking or traffic lights. Or
I'm going to say you come across some very busy roads in the city.
Yeah, and some very empty, you know, passages. And also at 9:30, everyone's indoors working. And then everyone comes out again about 11 to have a cigarette, and they all disappear again. And then it gets busy again at sort of about 2:00.
But so you were actually walking for quite a long duration. It wasn't just like a walk into the city.
No,
you actually
spent much
of the day walking.
Yeah, at least 4 hours each day walking.
This was the first of several pieces you got addicted to.
I was waiting for a restart. So I'd written letters to people if I could build this piece in their foyer. So I was waiting, and I couldn't sit at home creating artworks or doing something else. I couldn't focus on anything. So this walking became my job and the waiting time. So the first walk was within the east side of the square mile. And then the second drawing, which was again 8 days, was in the west side of the square mile.
Each of these were 8 days?
Yeah.
Big apartment, right. Okay.
And then the third drawing was walking the boundary of the square mile, because I repeated exactly the same walk over and over and over again.
Every day?
Every day, yeah.
And how long does it take to walk around the square mile?
About 3 hours with drawing. That wasn't as enjoyable.
Did you sort of keep a note of how far you walked?
No. Doing the drawing in real time was very important, and trying to find a way of expressing walking. And what's quite interesting with the process is when you have two pencil marks next to each other, you're physically in between those two marks. You're the space between the two. So lots of things started happening with that. And then the next drawings, which evolved from that, so I was thinking, okay, each city is going to have its own signature. An artist friend of mine offered me a place in Barcelona for a week, so I went to do a drawing in the grid system in Barcelona, which is the exemplar. So that's a grid system of roads which are 100-yard square blocks, and I just walked the grid. So that walk I designed the way I was going to walk each day, which ended up quite an interesting drawing. It sort of finished there, really, because I went back to do another one in another part of Barcelona, a similar grid, but more elongated. And I do like the drawing, but I didn't really enjoy doing it, because I sort of knew what was happening. No, I wasn't enjoying it, but I kept pushing it. You know, I had to do it. I was there. And the thing with the drawings, because the way they're folded, I never look at the drawing at the end of each day and make visual decisions on it.
But when you finish the drawing, it's not when you've run out of paper, is it?
No. It can go on and on and, you know,
right.
Absolutely.
So I think a lot of people would sort of question you already by saying this every step, she marks every step, and she walks four hours a day for 8 days.
Yeah.
But there's more to it than that, isn't there?
Yeah. So, anyway, so each drawing, so we went from the Square Mile of London, which is all Hickles Piccadilly, and then the structured streets. The thing about these drawings, it's not my whole working practice. I've been doing them for 5 years, but I'll do one when I come up with an idea and then put a month aside and do it, and it sort of fills in with other works I'm doing. I was in thinking of doing another drawing, and I'd done the other city ones. Started thinking about basically what would it be like to draw a straight line or a straight line walk. So walk in a straight line and see what happens, you know, what's going on there. So I got quite excited about that. And so again, the first drawing was, of course, I got to the end of the page really quickly and then just started, you know, reversing it. So the piece is quite a nice drawing, but it wasn't any more than what it was.
Yes.
It didn't have another dimension to it. Kept walking in a straight line and just move the paper. So every inch on the page, I'd turn the paper 90 degrees. So I'd kept walking in the straight line, but every inch I'd...
Rotating it over and over again.
And that created a sort of labyrinth. However structured I tried to be in the beginning, it's very difficult to keep to it.
All this time you've kept a very rhythmic pace, haven't you? You've kept to a sort of similar pace.
The straight line walks I did on a promenade, a 3-mile promenade. So it was quite... Then the only real obstructions were... Not obstructions, things... Breaking that passage would be, you know, seating or people in rollerblades or that, which was...
Right.
I think that the important thing with the walking drawings is each one is very different and is approached, even though I'm folding paper, for the practicality of the folding the paper and making a mark for every footstep. Each drawing has been approached in a completely different way. So instead of just doing the same thing over and over, each one has sort of sparked off the next one. So it's very much now, if I'm going to do walking drawing art, think about it before I start and have a vague idea of what's, how I'm going to approach it.
Right.
Not too rigid, but I'll have a... So each one... And it will... I envisage them something I'll sort of do forever, and if I do one a year or two a year or more, I imagine it will be a body of work which just keeps growing. And what's fantastic about them is people can talk about them, people who don't... But with these drawings, everyone has something to say about them, which is really exciting for me.
You've also done pilgrimage walks.
I wanted to basically embark on a longer walk and chose to do a pilgrimage walk because I knew I could walk for 500 miles and there'd be accommodation on the way, which I wouldn't really have to organise, you know. Also, it was a walk I've always quite fancied doing. So, the Santiago de Compostela. So, basically, you're walking west the whole time, which is quite wonderful. You're up early in the morning, the sun's behind you. There's elongated shadows, which get shorter and shorter as the day becomes to the afternoon. I decided to walk with a compass, to do a drawing using a compass, and every 20 minutes,
right,
I marked the path west of the path, the route west.
Right.
Yeah. So that drawing took shape of a vertical strip for each day, folded into 20-minute intervals to mark the direction of the path. So the idea was some sort of pattern would evolve by doing this, and the walk took 33 days. So I didn't really see the pattern, which is quite interesting to me, like, because I thought there would be a definite flow. And then the following year I did the same pilgrimage, but starting in Arles and link walking to Pamplona, again west. So the two drawings together are quite interesting. And then I made an ink drawing of tracing those compass marks and made a big piece. And quite interesting, because that was the piece which most people responded to in the exhibition. It wasn't done in real time, it was done after the walk, but it does have some sort of pattern going on.
Do you think it's as much the admiration of someone who's actually made the discipline of walking for 33 days? Because, I mean,
there aren't many
of us who do that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
that's a heck of a discipline, isn't it, as well? To say, I'm going to walk from A to B, even if the accommodation is provided and it's a well-known and popular route, it's still it's a commitment. On top of that, you actually made a commitment to make a piece of work from it, of artwork from it.
Yeah.
So that's...
I don't know, really. I didn't... Like, my mother did the walk when she was in her 70s, so it's not... To me, to do a walk like that isn't a difficult thing. I don't, you know...
Tell us a little bit about... Well, if we wind back and we go back to the original walking drawings, that was to find a venue for installation.
That's right, I started collecting used railway tickets to make artworks, and contacted London Underground, who were fantastic, and also Southern Rail, which basically gave me their bags of used tickets at the end of each week. So the first pieces were artworks which were glued together, and they're basically about repetition. And then I quite liked the idea of making a piece which wasn't glued together, and that I was, because you're so involved in the process, that I sort of disappeared within the piece. So I decided to make a cylinder from the inside out to my height, it's almost 5'2". And there wasn't really much point in making that at home where no one was going to see it. So I quite like the idea of it being in a venue where people were seeing it every day, growing, this sort of cylinder growing. And eventually it was made in the Bethnal Green Library. And so when I started it, people didn't even bat an eyelid. They just thought some crazy woman was on the floor playing with some train tickets. It was a very odd thing.
How long did it take to...
To build it. 30 days plus.
Wow.
And originally the idea was that people could get involved with it.
Right.
So the only sort of stipulation was the tickets were laid the same way each time, otherwise it would fall over. And because of the weight of it, the weight was huge. You know, a box of tickets which would make, say, half an inch was really heavy. So because it wasn't glued together, it was quite important that they were sort of laid on them. But people didn't really get that involved. But it was fantastic doing it in the library, because as soon as it got to a certain height, people started engaging in it.
I interviewed someone called Fran Crowe, and she got terribly enthusiastic and terribly carried away with collecting plastic off the beach.
Yeah, yeah, lovely colours.
And making installations from this plastic and drawing people's attention to so much plastic in the sea. And when I interviewed her, she couldn't stop stopping
to pick things
right,
up.
Right. Yeah,
are you the same? Because what,
I try not to be.
That's where you ought to explain the coins.
The coin piece, like, it, you know, I also walk a lot in London when I'm not making a drawing, just to clear my mind or to come up with ideas or for lots of. Anyway.
But you do walk around collecting other things.
Two things, actually. Coins. About 2.5 years ago, I was on a walk and I picked up a pound coin, and which is very nice, you know. And I would always pick up a coin, even a penny. You know, I know people don't pick up coins, Lizzie, but I've always, you know, find a penny, pick it up. And picked up a pound coin, put it in my pocket, and 5 minutes later, this beggar woman came up to me asking for money, and I just put my hand in my pocket and gave her the pound coin. And basically that got me thinking about how, about the monies on the street, and just all of a sudden my eye was tuned into what was on the ground. And for example, if I'm to walk from Balham to Islington, I have on occasion found like over 20 coins. So I just thought of this idea of a project of mapping London by where the coins were found. And started off and wrote to all the boroughs to try to get them involved, because I'd be quite nice if the guys who swept the streets got involved with it, and, you know, it could have been quite a large project. Everyone responded, but nobody was happy to get it involved right. with it, which was a shame. But I've kept it going, and friends and some people I don't know have kept it going. And at the moment, there's over 2,000 coins in the last 2.5 years found on the streets of London, which will be an ongoing project. And I do match, each year I match the money I find, always found, and give it to Connections, the charity for the homeless. Over the last year, if I find anything of interest on the streets, and there's a huge amount, I'll put in an envelope and mark the envelope with just the date, and I have a drawer full of envelopes with. So the idea of this, with these envelopes, is one day I'll put them in a show and just have them all on, for people to take one away with them, not knowing what's inside.
But are you then constantly, I mean, you know, it's quite interesting because you're, you know, almost always involved in something when you're walking.
I don't go out looking for coins. If I'm out, I will keep my eye open for coins.
Okay, and now with the walking drawings, have you sort of now laid that to rest?
Another drawing I really want to do is to go somewhere I've never been before and do a drawing for a month. Not look at a map of the city before I go, and just see what happens.
Yeah, and have you chosen where you'd like to do that?
No, it might be, no, I don't know. It might be in India somewhere, or I'm not sure, somewhere very foreign.
I'm going to ask you to, if you've got a couple of walks you might recommend to people.
A walk which I'd always recommend to anyone is if you're walking into town, and it's going to be an hour and a half or 2 hours walk, is just look at the map and just earmark it and walk there. You know, and you don't necessarily have to go through, you know, landmarks or anything, but just walk a straight line to your destination.
Okay, yeah. That's one recommendation. Yeah, and then the other, is it a pilgrimage route?
Route, I would highly, highly recommend that. It's extraordinary. And everyone you meet along it, the walking has become their job. You know, that's what you do. You wake up in the morning and you walk. There is a coastal walk in Cornwall, which is one of my favourite walks. Or Zenner to St Ives, it's the most beautiful coast park.
You've been listening to Talking Walking, brought to you by Rethinking Cities in London. In this episode, you've heard from Foster Spragg. If you have any views on this interview or any walking issues, we would love to hear from you. Just follow the links on the Talking Walking website. We look forward to having you along for future episodes of Talking Walking. Written, recorded and produced by Andrew Stuck of Rethinking Cities Limited. Our artwork is designed by Ian Martin of Aardvark Graphics, and the music is composed by Simon Sanders of Easytronic.